Calvary Church here in De Quincey, Louisiana, United States of America, we bring you Sunday Night Live, a worldwide ministry proclaiming the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is a special broadcast. Please stay clicked on. God has something special for you today. I'm speaking on a subject that's dear to all of our hearts. The question of the subject is, will we know our loved ones in heaven? This is a very important part of our faith, that we believe in a great reunion someday in the sun-kissed hills of glory. Stay clicked on. We'll give you scriptural information and answer that question, will we know our loved ones in heaven? It's the first Sunday in February 2010. And many of you are suffering out there with severe weather. Our prayers are with you. And our prayers go down to Haiti, and the 200,000 people who have died in this terrible earthquake and their loved ones. May God bless them as they rebuild that little island nation. Now it's time for the messages that have come in. We're praying for our mission director, still recovering from surgery. And he has some messages by tape, and then I'll be back with the word of the Lord in just a few moments. Here is missionary Gerald Schultz.
Thank you, Pastor. We feel so privileged to share these blessed messages with this congregation and with our internet listeners. So encouraging, mostly from Mississippi this week. First, enjoyed your site very much. Thank you. Keep up a great work from Louisiana. Then, greetings from the friendliest state in the Union. Really like your program of quotas. Very good. Thank you. Gulfport, Mississippi. And I love your program and what you preach. Thank you. It sure got me thinking from Jackson, Mississippi. There is a big church here in Jackson, Reverend Kraft, that preaches like you do from Jackson, Mississippi. I can understand that. You are welcome to bring a crusade to our city. There are thousands here who need to hear straightforward preaching. Again, Jackson. We have a very rich Pentecostal heritage here in Tupelo, of which we have a children's home. We know the value of charity, and the greatest of these three, the Bible says, is charity. Preaching love through truth is the highest standard of charity you could ever raise. From Tupelo, Mississippi. Well, thank God, we are certainly familiar with the Tupelo Children's Home, and we thank you for that message. Pastor Hicks' address is Post Office Box 715, De Quincey, Louisiana, 70633. Now, we believe it pleases God to offer you the continued Sunday Night Live ministry of Pastor Marvin Hicks. And here he is.
Thank you, Brother Schultz, and thank you, ladies and gentlemen. God bless you tonight. I'd like to speak on the subject, will we know our loved ones in heaven? The text is in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 12. For we now see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even also as I am known. Thank you for honoring the word, and you may be seated in the congregation. Heavenly recognition is not by implication. It is set forth as an unqualified and positive affirmative throughout the entire Bible. Will we know our loved ones in heaven? Will we recognize Mom, Dad, brothers and sisters? How can it be called heaven if we miss our loved ones who were not saved? Now, if you'll open your heart, I will try to answer these questions by sharing with you what the Bible says about it. Personally, this subject is very important to me, and I'm sure it means a lot to most of you. Most of us have far more over there than we have left here upon this earth. We've had to say goodbye to so many we have loved so much. Now, if there's no resurrection or recognition at resurrection, we have all been guilty of singing the songs of hypocrisy, the hymns of disillusionment. I remember the year was 1972. At the age of 69, my mother fell dead in my sister's home. A sweet, gracious lady, so full of God's Spirit. At her funeral at the Apostolic Faith Tabernacle in Ferndale, Michigan, where my father was a pastor, my young brother and I stood to lead the congregation with Mom's body before us, and we sang, "There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. And our Father waits over the way to prepare a dwelling place there." And then we ask everybody to sing this in the sweet by and by. "We shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore." Now, if it's not true, what I'm preaching, that song is a farce. It was true in 1972. And 30 years later, thank God, it's still the truth. Can I hear somebody shout amen? Praise God. First of all, let's talk about the resurrected body of Jesus Christ. He is, of course, always and ever our best example of any subject. His physical body was subject to examination for 40 days after the resurrection from the dead. So much so that Thomas had said, "Until I see and touch his nail-scarred hands, or his side, which is scarred, I will not believe." He didn't even get his hands out of his pocket, because what he saw was enough to convince him to cry out, "Jesus, thou art my Lord and my God." After the resurrection, the scars were still there. And you can read in the 5th chapter of Revelation how that they wept and cried because there was no one to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. Then the Bible said, "In the midst there stood a lamb, as it had been slain from the foundation of the earth." The original of that text says, "as it had been slain," or "with slaughter marks upon it." Ah, even in heaven we'll remember and recognize the lamb nature of God. The sacrifice of Calvary that brought us to the gates of pearl and the walls of jasper. Praise God. And in heaven, the Bible tells us in pretty minute detail what we can expect in 1 John 3 and verse 2. "It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is." If you love that blessed hope, let's give the Lord a hand, praise. On the Mississippi River, a lady fell off of the boat in the cold winter time. A very heroic man dived into the water and saved her life. They brought her to the deck and offered her coffee. She said, "No, I won't take any nourishment until I look into the face of the man who saved me from drowning." And it was done. Ladies and gentlemen, I wish I could have seen Jesus as he was a child, as he walked the shores of Galilee and healed the sick and raised the dead. I wish I could have seen him at Calvary. Oh, I would have loved him. And then at Bethany, and I wish I could have seen him at the Mount of Olives when he took that step and his foot didn't come back down and he ascended into heaven. But ladies and gentlemen, not one time in all the Bible would I trade for that blessed hope of the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
First, let me establish something in your thinking. We must understand the difference between relationship and recognition. There is a difference. Now, my dear father had a struggle with this. He had in his mind and heart many years that when death came, it would be the end of our recognition. He said, "Son, I'll never see you again. I'll never see your mother again," and so on. And that was the morbid outlook that my dear preacher father had. It wasn't a doctrinal thing that caused him to be lost. But then I had the blessed privilege one day of being his pastor for 8 years, and I straightened him out. Can you imagine a son teaching his father? But I brought a great ray of hope to his heart just before he died. I said, "Dad, let me give you an example." He said, "Son, if I get to heaven and I got 4 children, 2 of you made it and 2 of it didn't, it wouldn't be heaven if some of you didn't make it." I said, "Dad, let me give you an example. Jesus walked with those Emmaus disciples along the Emmaus Road, and he turned off their recognition. They had a relationship." The Bible says, and notice this carefully, Luke 24:15, "Jesus himself drew near and went with them." There was a relationship. But even though they were walking together, Jesus had the power to turn off their comprehension and understanding where there was no recognition. They did not know he was the Lord. And then all of a sudden, he turned it on, and the Bible says in Luke 24:16, their eyes were holding that they should not know him. But then all of a sudden, he turned on their recognition, and there was not only a relationship, but there was also recognition. I said, "Dad, in the same way, if some of your family is not in heaven, it wouldn't be heaven for you to grieve for them for eternity. There'll be no tears in heaven." So what we have to believe about this is that God will have the power to blot out the past. Anybody that didn't make it, there'll be nothing bad in heaven. No negatives in heaven. Glory to God. Everything is going to be right. That's why it's going to be heaven. And there'll be no memory of those who are lost. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's a matter of identity, too. Identity is engraved upon this universe. Look at the fact that there are 6 billion people on this earth. And let's say that they have 10 prints. That means 60 billion prints the size of a dime, and not 2 of them alike. Don't ever tell me there's no God. Nobody could ever do that but God. He's the only one that can identify you by your fingerprints. And there are the voice prints that are just as accurate today as fingerprints. And there are the snowflakes. They have told us that there never have been, of all the trillions of snowflakes, never have been 2 snowflakes exactly alike. And then the stars of the heavens. I would have been happy if God had put 1 million of them up there, but when he got to doing it, he really did a good job. The scientists say he put 30 billion stars up there, and every one of them are larger than the earth. Somebody say praise the Lord. Don't we have a wonderful God? Isaiah chapter 40 verse 26. "Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things," reference to the stars, "that bringeth out the hosts by number. He calleth them all by names." Meaning that God is very detailed, and he knows you by name. And the fact is, I want to share with you, God will not destroy what he has redeemed. God will not destroy the identity of what he has redeemed. And when he redeemed you and bought you with the blood of Jesus Christ, it gave you hope that you will be known as you are known in heaven. Let's give God praise again. I thought so many times about this, and my heart's been really happy when I think about the hope. Matthew 8:1 says, "And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west, and shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." Now, why would that be in the Bible if we're to sit down with 3 men like that and not recognize them? You see, the recognition I'm preaching about was also manifest at the Mount of Transfiguration. In Matthew chapter 17, verse 2, "And Jesus was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, as his raiment was white as light." Then Peter said, "It's Jesus. He was transfigured. His raiment was white as light, and his face shone as the sun, and yet they still recognized him as Jesus. And they did not see before. Peter did not know Moses and Elijah, but they recognized them. Never met them, had no picture of them, never talked to them, but they knew it was Moses and Elijah with Jesus. And Moses passed away, meaning you're not saved by the law. Elijah passed away, you're not saved by the prophet. And they looked and saw no man save Jesus only, the one Savior of the world that's going to take us sweeping through the pearly gates in that great beyond. Oh, the Holy Ghost is impressing this upon somebody right now. Thank God. Jesus was translated before them, and yet he kept his identity. Oh, I love the story, the true story of that atheist that was giving a lecture at a university in Oregon. After he finished telling people there was no God, he said, would anyone in this congregation of 600 students have the courage, after all I've said about there being no God, would someone even want to stand and refute what I said? Nobody stood to refute it, but one little lady filled with the Holy Ghost, the name of Jesus emblazoned on her heart. She stood, and with a voice like angels, she started singing, I shall know him, I shall know him, and redeemed by his side I shall stand. I shall know him, I shall know him by the prints of the nails in his hand. And when she finished, they sang it the second time, and the students joined in, and they began to receive the Holy Ghost all over the college campus. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a hope, a blessed hope that goes beyond this veil of tears. We'll not only see Jesus, we'll see the saints of God. Oh, hallelujah! Recognition, then, is so important. Let me go back to the question of my subject. Will we know our loved ones in heaven? Ladies and gentlemen, if we recognize Jesus, we'll also recognize his bride. You see, the church is the body of Christ. The recognition of Jesus in heaven assures me that we'll also know the members of the body of Christ. 1 Thessalonians 4:13, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which sleep, these are those who are dead, and that know that we saw not as those that have no hope. Now, latch on to this. Hang on to it. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Why would he do that if there was no recognition? He's bringing them to say, here is your brother, here is your sister, here is your mother, here is your dad. Thank God there will be recognition in heaven. My text says, we shall know as we are known. Let's give him another praise all over the building tonight. I like the story of that young lady that her husband said, if you go to that church tonight, I'm going to shoot you. I'm tired of religion in our home. She continued to prepare. She got to the door, and he pulled up the shotgun and said, if you go to church, I'm going to shoot you. He said, you got me in a no-lose situation, honey. If you shoot me, I'll see Jesus. If you don't, I go to church and meet him there. I don't care which place I meet him. Oh, I love the wonderful story of the literal Italian lady who was on that ship going to New York. And they said, the ship is sinking. We've struck an iceberg. We're going to drown. And this old lady starts saying, glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. The captain said, woman, are you crazy? Have you lost your mind? Don't you hear what I say? We're going to die. You're going to drown in these icy waters. She said, well, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Said, I got two daughters. One's in New York, one's in heaven. I don't care which one I see first. Oh, I'm preaching a blessed hope now. Praise God. I was preaching in California, and a lady came to tell me her story. Said, Brother Hicks, I had a little five-year-old son. He memorized scripture. He was astonishing the people at the Sunday school and church with his knowledge of the Bible. I couldn't understand it. Every night I'd get on my knees and I'd say, oh God, I give this boy to you. He's yours, Lord. Take him and use him for the glory of God and the kingdom of God. I said, one day I was sitting in my den and I was sewing. I looked up just as I heard the brakes of a truck screech to a stop. She said, I looked out and saw those wheels roll over my little boy. said, I ran as fast as I could and picked up my child, and the Holy Ghost reveals to me I'm talking to somebody that's lost a young child right now. I want to give you hope in what I'm preaching tonight. And she said, I ran out there and picked up his little body, and he was bleeding from the mouth. And she said, I just began to pray, oh God, go, oh God, somehow this is going to work for your glory. And she said, Brother Hicks, where I used to think of heaven once a year, now I think of heaven every morning, every noon, and every night. Hey, folks, I want to get heaven on your mind. Too many of you hearing me now preach, you're earthly bound. The things of this world have got you bound down. You're choking on brick and mortar. You're choking on all the things of this world. But God wants you to lift up your eyes. Lift up your heart. There's a better place than this. There's a place where the roses never fade and the flowers never wither. There are no graveyards. Hallelujah. And death never comes. Let's praise Him for that blessed hope. There was a missionary, gave his life in Africa. On the way back, Teddy Roosevelt was on the same ship. And as the old ship came into New York Harbor, President Roosevelt looked out, and the bands were playing Hail to the Chief, and tens of thousands had come to welcome President Teddy Roosevelt home from his African safari. On board was an old, tired, broken, diseased missionary. He looked over the rail and said, in that foggy morning, there's nobody here to meet me. He began to weep, and he said, God, he's been over there playing, and I've been over there working for you. And now I'm coming home, and nobody to greet me. Lord, can you explain this to me? And God said, my son, cheer up. You're not home yet. Oh, praise God. Someday when we arrive at that pearly white city, glory to God. And I believe the Bible teaches there'll be a crown for everyone that has overcome. Not for me only, said Paul, but for all who love his appearing. And because the nail-scarred hands of Jesus placed it on my head, I'd like to leave it there for just a passing of time. And then I'd like to take it off and put it at the nail-scarred feet of Jesus Christ and sing in heaven like I've never sung on earth. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see.
Right now. Pray, audience, all of the building, let's pray. There'll be a brief altar service after the broadcast. This is Brother Hicks in DeQuincy, Louisiana, United States of America, bidding you on this Sunday night live broadcast. Good night. God's richest blessings upon you.
We appreciate you clicking on the Sunday Night Live, an international broadcast ministry that's on the air 24/7. This broadcast service features the ministry of our pastor, Marvin Hicks, and it comes to you each week from the Calvary Church in DeQuincy, Louisiana. Now, when you visit us here, you will find a warm welcome in a spiritual atmosphere. And now, speaking for all the wonderful people who make Calvary their church home, we're asking God to especially bless you this week, because we know God loves you, and so do we.